I have caught up with a gentleman we'll call For Dignity, who's working with Teach Beyond out of Nairobi, Kenya, dealing with some of the issues that the ministry has been facing with regard to internally displaced peoples and refugees, because we're asking a lot of questions about what's at stake with ministry and how education it intersects with that and the gospel. So, For Dignity, thank you so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
My pleasure.
Let me first ask you, you know, since we are discussing the issues of refugees and education, who counts as a refugee?
Okay, normally a refugee is known as someone who, due to some political reasons based on his, either his security, his religion, his political affiliation, was forced to leave his country and crossed border to another country. That person is, due to that threat which caused him to leave his country to another country, is recognized by the UN as a refugee.
Now, part of the reason you and I are talking today is because you would fall under that classification. You yourself are a refugee. Give me a brief sketch of how you found yourself to be a refugee.
Okay. I've been on this, what I call the refugee highway, for now 27 years because of my, let's say, who I am by tribe. I myself with my family were forced to leave our country in 1994 because of who we are. For those who may wish to call it due to ethnicity or tribalism, they are free to call it that way, but refusal to belong in our own country is one of the reasons which made me become a refugee. And it hasn't been only in one country. You can imagine for 27 years, it has been throughout different countries in the region and to some level worldwide. So being forced to leave your country, across the borders, has made me enter into that category of those I call refugees or forcibly displaced people.
One thing I think that folks don't consider very often with refugee situations, you know, from the outside looking in, is the cost of that kind of displacement on children. Because when people leave their country, they effectively become stateless. They don't have access to a country's protection or goods or rights or services. And so this is the next question for you. Why does being a refugee complicate education for children, for the refugee children in their host countries?
I think being a refugee doesn't only make complications to refugee children, because they belong to families before they be. Being a children, it means you are from a family. So it means the whole family is displaced. The family has lost its roots. Then you are forced to live in a different country. It is obvious that children may suffer most when it comes to their education. But in a broader sense, these people on the move, they are human beings who deserve equal rights as those who are, let's say, citizens in any country. So being labeled a refugee, I think to me is, to them is another added added difficulty beside, let me say, even those, the Kenyans or the Congolese who are not refugees also have difficulties educating their children. But when it comes to a refugee, it becomes worse for their children because, one, they don't have enough protection. Two, they are almost empty-handed, have lost everything. Three, it becomes a big challenge to have their children educated. So education for the refugee children is a very serious, serious issue, so to speak.
What happens or what's at risk in not helping refugees or their children with catching up with their education?
Okay, many things happens. I was trying to think of the statistics, though I don't like to identify refugees with the statistics. They are human beings, not simply numbers, but people are overwhelmed by numbers instead of being overwhelmed by the consequences of what the faces behind those numbers are facing. For example, there is closely 7.1 million of refugee children of the age, of the school age, but statistically 3.7 don't go to school. In a more practical way, in the region where I have been living for almost all this period of time, one of the main consequences, if refugee children are not educated, they become reasons for other displacement. I can go on elaborate, but that is very, very key. But also, if refugee children are not educated, they become a threat even in their hosting communities. When people say that long-term solutions to the refugee issues is either repatriation, integration, or resettlement, for me, I see education as cross-cutting into those three long-term solutions. If education is not given, it makes hard the success of these other three long-term solutions.
So I guess, you know, we have to ask the question, what is being done then to help these refugee children, to help these people be able to reclaim some of what they've lost in education?
Okay, maybe speaking from both the perspective of Beyond Borders or Teach Beyond, the organization I'm serving with, or also speaking from my own experience as a father in my own family, I see that in most cases, though the UNHCR and other organizations are a bit sensitive, I know an organization called Education Cannot Wait, but yet not all the children in the refugee camps can access education. The efforts that are being made to help them get the education, to me, is not yet satisfactory. Therefore, I think more effort should be put in to try to see how refugee children can get educated while in their hosting countries, because that is where everything should start. But unfortunately, many of those children spend 10, 15 years in the refugee camp or in the hosting countries without an education. Now you can guess what would happen if they are resettled, integrated, or repatriated back in their home countries where they fled from. So I think the churches, NGOs, UNHCR, governments in the hosting countries should put a strong emphasis, equal emphasis, because these people, these refugees are part of their communities, therefore they should also benefit equally the education as other children. So it is one thing to have all the laws well written, but it is another thing to see them applied in the daily life.
And I guess the other question here is, as you're describing the process, how does the education, how does what Teach Beyond can offer intersect with the gospel? This is the key part of what makes Teach Beyond so different from things like the UNHCR.
Exactly. Teach Beyond is about transformational education. How this type of education can transform holistically the child. Specifically with Beyond Borders, which has a focus on children on the move or displaced children, all we try to do is not taking away or taking education itself as a component, but also how this education can be Christ-centered, can be gospel-empowered. I think even for me, though I want my children to be educated, but I also try to see how can they also, beside being educated, how can they walk with God? How can the mind of God, how can a Christian perspective be key in their education? So Teach Beyond and Beyond Borders, their focus is not only to educate, but to give an education which is able to transform the child into, let's say, a dignified citizen who peacefully can live his life, but also can serve God in his life.
How do you want folks to interact with this discussion when we write a story from it? What do you want them to do with it?
For me, this story is not simply talking to a media house. It is a call to see the bigger picture of these people on the move. I do say this is God's kingdom on the move. I don't know whether you are, let's say, a Christian media, but God is building his kingdom with those who are displaced. So people shouldn't lose the sight to see what God is doing with those who are displaced, to see what God can do through the education of those who are displaced. Because bottom line, they are part of us. Bottom line, they are part of our communities. Bottom line, they need to belong as we all need to.
How can people be praying?
For example, Beyond Borders is currently starting a partnership with a refugee church in Uganda to sponsor 36 children to go into formal education. Because to me, this is giving them future and dignity. So the best way to pray is to pray while we serve, while we do what we are asking God to do. We have been equipped, but I think as we pray, we can also reach one child at a time and allow that child to be all God meant him or her to be.